Hello, Oasis family, and for those of you that are journeying with us on what we can only call an adventure, really, trusting God for our future, believing God for every day, for Him to move at this particular point in time, and relying on Him for all things, which is a good place to be. Today, on our adventure, on our journey, we're looking to shape our future. We're looking to start to establish a new culture for Oasis all around discipleship. For those of you that have been part of the Oasis family, are part of the Oasis family, you hopefully would have seen a video that I sent out with some notes explaining our culture around discipleship and talking about four values. The four values are worship, prayer, relationships and missional outreach. So when we talked about those four values, we talked about our relationship with God, our direction with God, which covers two values, which is worship and prayer. We looked at the inward, which is the relationship with those inside the church. We looked at the outward, which is the relationship with those people that don't yet know Jesus, that aren't part of the Christian family worldwide, but will hopefully, we pray that they will come and be part of the Christian family. And you'll know that we're building our culture around the scripture found in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. This is what it says: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. So our strap line, to try and help us remember those things, is loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. And today I'm looking at loving God. I'm looking at the relationship which comes relationship upwards, which is to God, and I'm going to cover one of the two values that relate to that today, and that is worship. And the next week I'll be looking at prayer. So worship, have we defined worship? We've defined worship as an all-embracing lifestyle, much more than simply what we do in a church service. And so we focus today on the value of worship, this all-embracing lifestyle. Let's begin in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. It's a story where Jesus calls his first disciples. This is what it says: as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and they followed him. What was Jesus doing here? Well, Jesus was extending a personal invitation to these fishermen to come and follow him, to learn what it meant to be a disciple of his, to do life together, to experience a personal relationship with him. Both of these values this week and next week, really, in essence, they are about walking with Jesus. When we became a Christian, when we gave our life to Jesus, he invited us to walk with him. And his plan was and is for everybody that follows him to walk daily with him so that he can be part of our life 24/7. He didn't die and give his life for us to have just part of our life, a few minutes of the day, but to walk with us and be with us and to learn from him what it means to be a disciple, to do life together and have a relationship with him. God designed us and created us to have a loving relationship with him. So the upward relationship that we're talking about in these two values are about our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That makes up the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when we're talking about our relationship with God, we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that includes everything we do in our life 24/7. Jesus says, come, follow me. Do you know, he's always with us. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He tells us in his word, in the promises that he makes to us, when we follow him, he'll always be with us. He's never too busy to walk with us and to talk with us. As I was preparing this sermon, I had a phone call from somebody from church who asked me, could we go for a walk together? And I've done that a few times with this person. I enjoy doing that. It's great. But I had to look in my diary. I had to see when I could fit that person in, because I can only be in one place at a time. But not so with Jesus. Not so with God. He's everywhere present at all times. And he's never too busy to wait to walk with us. We don't need to make an appointment with him. He's already expecting us. He's already ready with his walking shoes on, with his walking gear. He's ready to walk with us in life. He's ready to go. So in the context of worship, Jesus brings some teaching in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 23. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. That's the fourth book in the New Testament. And he's talking in a Samaritan woman. We'll come back and explain that a little bit in a minute. But Jesus explains to this lady, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. They're the kind of people the Father is seeking, those who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so God today is seeking people right now who will worship him wherever they find themselves in whatever they're doing. Worship is not just a thing we do when we come to church on a Sunday morning between 10:30 and 12:30. Worship does not just consist of singing and music. Worship doesn't revolve around places, although meeting together to worship, to praise God, to hear the word of God, to apply the word of God, to do communion together, to meet together as a body is vitally important, and we need that. But worship is not only for Sundays or for special occasions. Worship is an all-embracing, everyday way of life. It is the heart of a radically different way of living. And when we're walking with God, that lifestyle of worship brings the all-powerful presence of God to every place we go, into every situation we find ourselves, at home, at work, with our friends, on holiday. Whatever we're doing, wherever we are, in the day, in the evening, as we're walking with God, it brings the all-powerful presence of God into that situation. So John 4:23 says that God is looking for worshippers, not just worship. He's looking for somebody that embraces this lifestyle of worship. He's not looking for people who will follow a rigid set of rules or worship instructions, but someone that lives it here from their heart. This is someone whose life reveals a loving and loyal relationship with God. Being a disciple of Jesus is having a loving and loyal relationship with God. Jesus teaches us in the Bible that worship originates in our relationship with God. Worship revolves around the condition of the heart. What's your heart condition today? How is your heart with Jesus today? Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, which is the first book in the New Testament, Matthew 12, 34 says this, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth expresses what is overflowing from the heart. The heart moves in connection with each other. The heart and the lips move in connection with each other. The mouth expresses what is overflowing from the heart. And God warns of the dangers of a heart that's not right with him. In Isaiah, in the Old Testament, this prophet brings this word from God. In Isaiah 29:13, it says this, "The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth, they honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." Rules taught by men. They say all the right things, they give all the right talk, but they don't walk the walk. So I want to return to John chapter 4, and this is an opportunity for you to read it today after this message, to read the whole context. But here we find that Jesus intentionally, purposely goes to a place called Samaria. He goes to a well with the express intention of finding a woman. We know her as the Samaritan woman, who was a very sinful woman. She's going to encounter him. He's going to start with a question which is going to enable her to understand what it means to be a true worshipper of God. And as Jesus meets with her, she realizes she's the answer she's always been looking for. And this encounter with Jesus transforms her life forever. And it's all because Jesus asks a simple question. John chapter 4, verse 7. "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?'" Now, this lady lived a sinful life. She'd had five husbands. The man she was living with was not her husband. She came to the well at that particular time so that no one else would be there because of her shameful life. But she still went to worship God. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Verse 9, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" No dealings or associations, you might read that in a version in the Bible. No dealings or associations with Samaritans. Literally means that Jews do not use dishes that Samaritans have used. because it would have meant them having fellowship together. Jews did not fellowship with Samaritans. They despised them. They hated them. They were a different class of people and they had nothing to do with them. In fact, if you go to, or if you'd have gone to Israel in those days where the Samaritans lived, the Jews wouldn't just cross over the road if a Samaritan came, which they would do. They actually went right, wouldn't travel through the neighborhood. They traveled right around the neighborhood. They would go a long distance around so that they wouldn't have to go through Samaria and wouldn't have to even see these people. But the whole question culminated, the whole conversation culminated around the question of worship. Remember, we read earlier that Jesus said in John 4:23, the kind of worshippers that God was looking for to worship him are those who will worship in spirit and in truth. Let's look at what Jesus says. He's a master at teaching. He links things in so amazingly and so wonderful and gives people answers that they don't even know they need. But Jesus knows this lady needs this answer, and he's going to explain that to her and masterfully teach her what it means to be a true worshipper of God. Jesus answers her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And Jesus makes this vital connection between the person of the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, and true worshippers. You see, we can't be a true worshipper of God without the person of the Holy Spirit. Amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is symbolized by water. By Jesus giving her this living water, Jesus was giving her the ability to worship God properly. Just as physical water is vital for the health of our body, so the water of the Holy Spirit is absolutely vital and essential for our spiritual health and enable us to be true worshippers. And nothing else will satisfy us, satisfy our spirit, satisfy our inmost being than the Holy Spirit that works in and through us. God lives in us through his Spirit. His Spirit, when we follow Jesus, when we accept Jesus into our life, comes and lives within us. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us and enables us to live this all-embracing lifestyle 24/7. We know that if water does not flow, then it will eventually stagnate. And you know, so will we. If there is no flow of worship springing from within us and out of our lives, if worship is not an all-embracing way of life, we will stagnate. The truth is, and the sad thing is, if we stagnate, our attitudes can stink. We can become a stinking example of what a disciple of Jesus Christ is. We can bring dishonor and disgrace to Jesus. And today, as I've been preparing this message, I felt that God wanted to say, maybe to someone that's listening, your attitude's not right. You know your attitude's not right. You know you follow Jesus, but actually you don't have all this in life embracing lifestyle. And actually your attitude stinks. And this is not a word of condemnation. This is just to encourage you today. Why don't you just invite the Holy Spirit to come again? Why don't you ask God to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit right now? As we're speaking now, just say, God, would you fill me again with your Spirit? Would you let your life, living water flow in me and flow through me to others? I want to be a person that doesn't have this attitude, but I want to be like Jesus to people around me. If that's you today, would you just do that? Can I encourage you? That's not a word of condemnation. That's a word of encouragement. Right now, God is waiting to receive you and to accept you back and to forgive you and to restore you. And he'll do that right now as we're speaking. So you don't need to listen to the rest of this message now. If you want, you can put it on pause, spend some time with God, and then come back. So, knowing how vital worship is to our spiritual well-being, Jesus says to the woman, John 4:14, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus is making a promise. Jesus was saying he would give the Holy Spirit that would satisfy and refresh. And the Holy Spirit will flow out from our inmost being, out from us. So Jesus sought this woman. This was a divine appointment. He knew that she would be there at that specific time. He knew what she needed to hear. She was a hurting woman. She was a broken woman. She was going about her everyday life. She was fetching water. But Jesus was seeking her out. Jesus confronted her with the truth about her inmost sin, about her personal life, about her wrong understanding about God and her wrong attitudes of worship. This woman was no stranger to the act of worship. She discussed the topic of worship with Jesus, and she questions Jesus about worship. She was asking, who was doing it the right way? Was it the Jews or the Samaritans? John 4:19-20, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." She was saying to Jesus, the place where we worship, is it this mountain or is it Jerusalem? And Jesus replies, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know." No relationship with God. It was with the lips, but the heart was far from God. This is an important message for us to hear. This woman worshipped God on the mountain, the place she was told to worship. She went to church on Sunday or Saturday at a specific time on the mountain. That was her worship. The rest of her life was separated from that. But that one particular time when she went on the mountain was her worship. But she still lived a sinful life. Her lifestyle was wrong. Her life was stagnant. Her attitudes stank. She believed as long as she went to a particular place at a particular time and worshipped God in a set way, it didn't matter how she lived her life. The truth is, it does matter how we live our life. Our lifestyle matters. We don't go to church to worship God and then live a lifestyle as we want to. The Bible says we're the church. The building isn't the church. The church hasn't closed in this pandemic. The church buildings may have, but the church are the people. We, as the church, it matters how we live our life. We are the ones that Jesus has said, come follow me. Come walk with me. Come do life with me. Come understand what it's like to be a disciple. Come have a personal relationship with me. In the New Testament, if you look at the word for church, the Greek word is ecclesia. And what does ecclesia mean? Let's just look at the meaning of ecclesia for a moment. I'm just looking at my notes here. Ecclesia means called out. You and I are the called out ones. We are called to be different in this world. When Jesus called us to follow him, he called us to be radically different. The kind of worshippers the Father seeks are people who allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to flow in and through us. We don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk that Jesus set as our example. We embrace a lifestyle that brings glory to God the Father, just as Jesus embraced a lifestyle that brought glory to God the Father. We can't divorce what we do with our minds and our bodies with spiritual things. Spiritual acts are not separate from what we think and what we do. When the world sees our spiritual actions that bear no relationship to the way we live our everyday lives, they accuse us of hypocrisy. And that is what it is. Just as Jesus confronted this woman, the Holy Spirit will confront us when things aren't right in our life. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us and shows us when things aren't right. Jesus was saying to this woman, this place of worship was secondary importance. The priority revolves around the condition and attitude of the heart. When we worship in spirit and truth, there will be a radically different way of living, and there will be a change of our priorities. So, if we call ourselves a follower of Jesus, if we are a believer, if we are a disciple of Jesus, worship is much a part of everyday life as breathing is. It is important to us every day, in our everyday life, that we embrace a lifestyle of worship as much as breathing is. Our responsibility is to nurture and embrace a lifestyle of worship 24/7. Not just talk the talk. There's a lot of people that can talk the talk. It's about talking the talk and walking the walk. Walking with Jesus, developing the relationship with him, learning to be his disciple, embracing this lifestyle. I've nearly finished. Look at the response from this sinful Samaritan woman once she had met and heard from Jesus. John 4:15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She realized she needed what Jesus was offering. She didn't fully understand in that part of the account. Later on, she does. Today, I might be talking to you and you may not know Jesus personally, but I want to tell you this. He knows you absolutely inside out perfectly. He knows all about you. He knows everything you've said. He knows everything you've done. He knows the way you live your life. He knows the decisions that you've made in the past. And guess what? This is amazing news. He loves you just as you are. And today he has a divine appointment with you. As you're listening to this message, he has a divine appointment with you. He's come with a personal invitation that says to you, why don't you come and follow me? Why don't you receive this living water? Why don't you learn what it's like to worship God as a true worshiper in spirit and in truth? And if you allow him into your life, he will send his Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out. He will change you from the inside out. And once you've met him, you will never be the same again. And through your relationship with Jesus Christ, you can have an amazing personal relationship with God the Father. You can know what it means to be a true worshiper. You were created to know him. You were created to love him. Today your life can be complete. If you've got something missing, and you have if you haven't got the relationship with Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and you know you're not complete, you can be complete if you accept your life to Jesus, accept Jesus into your life today. Will you do that? You can do that right now. You can connect with us. If you're listening Sunday morning now as we're broadcasting this and you're on our online church, you can just connect with one of the hosts and say to them, I want to give my life to Jesus. Can you help me do that? And they'll do that for you right now. There's a host there. You just press on the prayer request. And there's a moment there that you can connect, say, I've given my life to Jesus, just to let us know. Or if you're listening at a different time, you can connect with us at admin@oasischristiancentre.org.uk. And we'll come back to you as soon as we can, and we'll help you find Jesus. We'll help you, we'll lead you through a prayer, and we'll show you and explain what it means to be a Christian. Thank you so much for listening. Let's just finish with this. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. Loving God. Worship in our relationship to him. The first value that we value in our culture of discipleship at Oasis Christian Centre. Thank you so much for listening.